There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. Hour number two, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here. Phone number, text line, 343-0106. Also, you can use that very cool FM Talk 106.5 app to leave us a message. We can play back on the air here. So that's one of the many features on that digital multi-tool that is our app. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. And let me just... Two of the texts from the volume of texts we got last hour, and then we'll move on. Although we may bring it back up because my buddy Cameron Smith is going to join us here in a second. So Houndstooth says, you have to put out a good mandate to overtake the evil mandate. That, Houndstooth, that's what I'm talking about. You don't. I mean, that is this. I disagree with you on that one. That's the problem. Although a named texter here says... I think you're forgetting one party is for open borders and free health care for the planet. It's a suicide pill. I agree, don't become them, but good old boy business Republicans have zero fight. Okay. But let's say on the borders and the free health care thing, the borders for a second, there's not, it's, I don't think there's equivalent there, because when conservatives argue that you secure the border, you're saying the rule of law is important and you should enforce the rule of law versus, you know, hey, President Biden and the left have this mandate on business, so we don't like it, so we're going to have another mandate that fights that mandate. That's the question. And I get it day in and day out. It's easy, and I'm with you, and I understand in your gut how it feels right to fight back like that, but you'll wake up one day and you won't have the same conservatism. I don't know what day it is, but... maybe next week. Also, just before we get to Cameron, I want to point out, too, this came up in my feed in front of me on the many open screens of Google Chrome I surround myself with. Just a note here. Y'all can take this with you over the weekend. The suspect, the dirtbag, suspect in the Waukesha parade carnage says he feels demonized. I have nothing at this point. That the person that ran over all the people in Waukesha says he feels demonized. I got an idea why you should feel demonized. Because you are. Okay. So nicely, I can now say, hey, it's Cameron Smith from AL.com and the Triptych Foundation. Hey, man.
Hey, Sean. How you doing?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good. He feels demonized, though. So I hate that for him.
Well, I mean, apparently he's another snowflake like many of your listeners. You're way too nice to them on these business mandates and stuff. Hey, y'all, remember when President Obama said, hey, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen, talking about small businesses. Mm-hmm. And we all lost our minds because that's not true. Well, yep. These mandates, reverse mandates on private businesses say, well, you know, your employees are entitled to their job if they don't like your policies. Because, you know, you didn't build that. You didn't make that happen. And so every last one of you jokers out there who's saying, well, we need an equal opposing, you know, liberal mandate for the bad liberal mandate. That's what you're saying. You're saying that the folks who have feelings about vaccines are more important to the business than the people who started the business. And I don't care if you like that or not. Sean will be nice to you. I'll tell you the truth.
Well, okay. I mean, I said earlier, you take a car that's painted blue, you know, that doesn't run well, and then paint it red, it still doesn't run well, right? So I don't like that vehicle. But it doesn't mean that at the same time, I am aware of and keenly aware of protecting the rights of individuals. That's kind of what I've, you know, one of the pegs I hang my hat on, man.
You should protect that right. But I mean, it's not like business owners are running around tackling people and stabbing them with needles. I mean, it's, hey, this is my business. I've created it. You work here and I pay you. And the idea that you don't like me deciding it's better for my business to have this health requirement of people that work here, I get that you don't like it, but why are you entitled to have the opinion that's more important than mine in my business? And my answer to that is you're not. And I think this is where when you go run into government and say, hey, government, fix this for me, make it better, you are creating the tool of your own demise, and you are crushing liberty because you have feelings and you need to get over it.
Yeah, and just assuming that the business wants to have a mandate. Okay, I'm a small business owner. There's no mandate here, right? There's no mandate to get vaccinated. So I'm not arguing. It's not like I'm trying to cover my own. It's not like I'm trying to make it good for me. I have no dog in the hunt because there's no mandate here. But it's just this question, like you said, about liberty. And although, listen, I get it. This is a tough argument because you say that person, you know, through no fault of their own, help me for a second here, no fault of their own, is losing that job at the business because the business, some business, decided they are going to force vaccinations.
Yeah, and I don't like that outcome. I wouldn't feel comfortable mandating it without exemptions, right? If somebody has a sincerely held religious belief, or they have something that they're like, I just can't, you know, be accommodating where you can. I mean, that's good business. But the idea, I'll take it a different way. Let's say I, as someone who possesses a dad bod, I don't like CrossFit Ron. So I say only dad bods can work at the Triptych Foundation or Triptych Media. Well, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that means CrossFit guy can't work there. So is he entitled to his job because I have a health requirement that you have to have a dad bod? I mean, no, he's not. And I think that's the thing that people need to realize is, yes, we do protect certain things in the workplace. We protect against racial discrimination above a certain size of employer, religious discrimination. We have protected classes, but we need to be real judicious about that because, frankly, as a free market conservative, the market corrects for a lot of that and says, we're not going to patronize businesses that are weird and do stupid stuff.
But people will argue back the other way and say, yeah, well, that's all well and good, you know, when that works itself out in a year's time or 2 years' time. But in the meantime, John or Jane Smith lost their job.
Yeah. And I mean, the challenge here is being principally consistent, even when it's tough. The flip side of that is they're paying $18 an hour at Five Guys. I mean, there is a labor shortage right now because of the pandemic dynamics. So employees have far more options than they've had previously. And I understand that it's disruptive. I understand that employers who choose this and employees who say, no, I don't want to do that, that is a major clash. But when it comes to somebody who created a business and operates that business, making a health decision for that business, or an employee saying, well, my decisions should govern. If you don't like that in other context and you say, well, that's liberal government overreach, but then you decide, okay, well, in this it's different. It's not. You need to be consistent.
Okay. And this one, there's several people with this text right now coming in, and I've been, people have texted me the same thing in the past. So let me do this one. He said, tell him, but others have said the same thing, tell him to let all female employees, it's better for the business not to be pregnant, so go get an abortion or be fired.
Yeah. I mean, and in terms of that, you want to talk about a dynamic where you would have gender discrimination, which is a protected class, but let's assume for a minute it's not. Imagine a situation that a business down in Mobile says, if you want to work here and you get pregnant, you must have an abortion. People would lose their minds. They'd not go anywhere near that business. The owner would be run out of town. That's how markets work.
Okay. I mean, I would say that that one's going to be, people are going to say they got that job and they didn't do anything wrong. They're forced to make this decision or keep their job, and therefore their individual liberty is being stepped on. That's how they're going to argue this.
Yeah. And Alabama is an at-will state. I mean, so if I'm an employer, I could say, you know what? You're an Auburn fan. I don't like that. You didn't do anything wrong, but I can still fire you. I can, your choices, I can just decide as an employer, well, I just don't want to employ you anymore. Does that make me a good employer? Absolutely not. It means I'm arbitrary and weird, and people won't want to work for me, and I'll develop a bad reputation. But is it something that we want to come in and say, you may not fire an employee because of their college football allegiances? No, because we end up in a weird world where we have to spell all this stuff out, and we're substituting government and political judgment for the reasoned judgment of somebody trying to run a business. And so when the choice is between government mandate or liberty, I'm going to go with liberty almost every time.
I'm going to show you how EEO I am, or however we call it. I'm graduate of the University of Alabama. Cameron and I are going to talk about some Bama stuff here in a second. We carry Auburn football. I have many Auburn fans that work here. I have a Georgia fan I'll have to deal with who is part of our morning show. I have my longtime buddy, Dalton Orwig, that for some reason continues to cheer for that school in Knoxville. LSU's not represented, but Georgia's represented. Auburn's represented here. That's how I am. That's how benevolent I am. I let all those people work here, even though they make those mistakes. But that's a conversation for another show, I guess. Although we could continue the college football discussion, because your latest over at AL.com is, whether it's Roll Tide or Go Dogs, college football can save America. Preach!
Yeah, I mean, this one just kind of hit me. I we talk about politics being a team sport, and red team, blue team, you know, black, white, gay, straight, all these different things. And we say it like it's a bad thing. Like, oh, no, we don't want our politics to be a team sport. And then I look over at college football. I love college football. You know this. I roll tide. But like you just pointed out, I have so many friends and colleagues that, you know, root for all these other teams. And you know what? On any given Saturday in the fall in the South, we are going after each other. We disagree about who should win. We are all in, right? We are passionate about our football, and nobody's going to tell us otherwise. And then Saturday's over. Sunday, we go to church to get our hearts right. And then Monday, we're back at work with people who have very different views about college football than we do. And I also thought about it because if you have that Crimson A on your clothes, you're getting a Roll Tide from me. I don't care. I'm not like, well, are you a Democrat? Are you a liberal? I just say Roll Tide. And honestly, I don't care. And that was kind of funny because it says, well, it's more important to me that we root for the same college football team than it is what our politics are. Yeah, but, and go ahead.
People argue, though, that college football is not going to change the direction of our republic, right? Like politics will.
Oh, good grief. That's a lie, because college football impacts how we interact with each other. It's relationships. It's the people. And that's really the only thing that's ever impacted the direction of our republic. If you look at our politics right now, if anything, the politics hurts us a lot more than college football helps us, because we are in la-la land. On a college football game, I go, I root for the team. Come Saturday at that SEC championship, Alabama's the underdog. I'm going to root for Alabama. But regardless of what the score is at the end of the fourth quarter, we'll have an answer and we'll move on. And you know what? We're going to look to the next game and the next season. Because it's not winner take all the time. And unfortunately, we believe that about our politics, and that's not true. In our politics, it can change all the time. It is not winner take all. There are not permanent majorities. They change and shift. It's much more like college football in terms of what the reality is than what we make it in terms of cable news and a lot of the punditry class.
There is that. There is, and I tell people, we are served up a version of what happens in Washington that, and believe me, I'm not defending what happens in Washington, but we're not getting, it is a mile wide and a half inch deep, where it should be, it should be a lot deeper. There are understanding what goes on there.
Yeah, and there's no switch. It's not like Joe Biden has a socialism switch and he's going to flip it, and then all of a sudden America's socialist and our future is lost. I mean, the future gets to be written every day we wake up. That's the reason I go after all the politicians in D.C., Republican or Democrat, that try to scare the daylights out of people. I mean, if I hear one more politician saying, well, the socialists or Democrats are going to get us and they're blah, 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 and not actually doing anything productive, I'm going to scream. I see it all the time because it's a lot easier to scare people than it is to fight for the future, than it is to shape policy, than it is to build majorities. If you just, you know, villainize the other side and say they're terrible, I can cheer against the Vols or the Bulldogs or whatever all day long, but I'd much rather cheer for Alabama and say, hey, here's what we're doing right. Here, this is good. I'm excited about this. You know, here's what we have to look forward to. And I think that's a better way to be, and I think that can save America. Just look at our college football, do that in our politics.
Yeah, I do worry about that. We're running out of time, but I do worry about this because I do believe there's many in Washington pushing for a more socialist United States of America, very much so. And I'm what bothers me about it, and I'm not one that people will say, well, don't have somebody on the air talking about that. I think you got to talk about it. You got to spar. What worries me is how you fight back against that, and is that message still valid? Because when you have a socialist ideal coming out there telling people, we're going to give you all this stuff, we're going to fix every problem, give you this stuff, and here we are on the conservative side, and we're saying, but yeah, but we're going to give you liberty and opportunity. I'm scared that that argument is going to be lost on some people, and enough people to keep the socialist agenda moving.
I'm scared that people don't know what they're talking about, because you know what socialists do? They control the modes of production.
Yep.
It is the penultimate government mandate on the private sector. So all you people who think you're conservative, who want government to mandate the private sector do stuff, that's socialist. That's moving us in a direction where the government pulls the strings for the production class. And that's how socialism works. So before you keep screaming socialism, you might want to know what you're talking about. And if you want to fight it, drain the power out of government. Don't come up with new things for government to do.
Well said. All right, people want to read more of what you're writing. Where do they go?
You can follow me at D. Cameron Smith on Twitter, al.com/opinion. I mean, smoke signals. I don't care. Join the conversation because this is important stuff.
There he is. Cameron, roll tide.
Roll tide, man.
Roll tide. I hope. Pray. I'll be texting you tomorrow. All right. Coming right back. More Midday Mobile. It's FM Talk 106.5. Grab your calls when we return. 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Man, we're running short on time. Let me go to Howard quickly here before the news. Howard in Mobile is up. Hey, man.
Hey, Sean. How you doing?
I'm all right. You want to talk about that SEC championship tomorrow?
Yeah, I wanted to give you and the other Alabama fans a little bit of hope.
Yeah? I need it.
If you take a look at Georgia's schedule, who they played this year, the two best teams they played is Auburn and Arkansas. Arkansas lost 4 games and Auburn lost 6 games.
I hope you're right, Howard.
Georgia has not played anybody on Alabama's level.
But I hope you're right, Howard. I'm going to take that. I'm going to take that to the house and smile tonight. And hopefully it comes true. I'm sweaty palms on this one. Man, I've watched this game go down before, and they just look so good to me, man.
Football is like politics. You never know who's going to win.
That's true. Let's hope the good guys win this one. You hear that, Dan Brennan? Right, Howard. Thank you for the call. Dan's going to be there, which. Here's the problem, though. If he's going to be there, Dalton, you know this, that, like, you can't, like, when I try to text me at Bryant Denny, you can't get a signal out, you know, because there's so many people on their phones and all that. I don't know if it'll, but I'm going to try a series of insulting texts to Dan during the game tomorrow when he's up there. But hopefully they'll get through. I just don't know. Oh, wow. Thank you, Dan, for the update here. This is a different Dan. I was talking about Dan Brennan from Mobile Mornings, but Dan on the text line, update here on some high school football. Vigers up 45-14 over Oneonta with 3 minutes left in the fourth. Now we're talking. Yeah, because high school championships. Way to go, Viger. 45-14 over Oneonta. 3 minutes left in the fourth. I feel good about that game.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
135 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile Friday style. So we get to check in with my buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Hey, Angelo.
Hey, man. How you doing today?
I'm good, and I'm feeling like, I guess it's even for some guys, it's officially started the Christmas shopping season. Not for you and I, but for responsible guys.
It's been pretty surprising. We've talked about it for a while. A lot of people have been doing early Christmas shopping, those responsible folks out there. But even for people like you and me, we can't deny that we are in December.
Yep.
And in not too many days, we've got Christmas, you know, coming up. So folks out there looking for Christmas gifts, I can almost promise you can get something for pretty much everybody in the family right here.
All right. Well, let's talk about what's been popular.
Opinel knives. We had a couple people coming in wanting something very specific in an Opinel knife because they thought they were going to have a real hard time finding a variety, walked in the door, and then were sort of awestruck when they saw the wall of Opinels there. A lot of silver, everything from old silver dollars, American silver eagles, those engravable Christmas rounds and bars, those have been quite popular. And a lot of folks have been looking at our nicer jewelry items and picking out some really beautiful jewelry pieces for Christmas.
All right, well, let's talk about, especially on the jewelry side, too, with y'all's online presence. I love this. People can go online, look at those, and purchase them there, or find the one they want and come in and say, hey, Angelo, I want to see the so-and-so.
Yeah, and I would really recommend, if you're here in Mobile, you're listening to us right now, go online, go to mobilebaycoins.com, do your shopping at home this evening or whatever, have a glass of wine. If you see something you like, just take a screenshot of it. Come by the shop. We're open on Saturdays 9 to 2, Monday through Friday during the week 9 to 5, and see the item in person. Make sure it is the right size, everything that you want it to be. I had somebody the other day, swear to God, Sean, they said, it looked really big on the computer screen. It's a little smaller in person. And I didn't know what to say.
Well, let's do this as well. If people want to get those, you're talking about silver rounds and all that too, what's the deadline for like engraving? Because that's a cool thing y'all do to make gifts even more special. Like, when do they have to have that decision made? Maybe I'm asking for a friend.
Yeah, maybe you're. I would say try to get a couple days ahead of Christmas Eve, because as we get closer to the holiday, it does get busier and busier every single day. And usually 48 hours ahead of Christmas Eve, we're sort of booked out. You know, we'll do our best to accommodate everybody, squeak them in at the last minute. But if you want those custom engraved silver rounds and silver bars, I would say give yourself at least 2-3 days before Christmas at the absolute least. And you may want to give yourself a little more time because we've been selling them like mad, and I don't know if we're going to be able to get any more in. You know, we've had double what we ordered last year, but we're already starting to see the effects, and people are coming in, not just buying one, but buying five or six.
All right. Tell folks once again, online and in the real world, and tell them about the podcast. How do they find you?
Yeah, we're in Midtown, 2204 Government Street, mobilebaycoins.com online. And you can check out the podcast, Two Guys and Some Change, on that website, twoguysandsomechange.com. Better yet, check it out every Tuesday night from 6 to 7 on Local Talk, FM 106.5.
All right. We'll catch up with you soon. Thank you, man.
Have a good one, John.
You too. Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Hey, as we're talking stores here for a second, Ed, Dalton, can you, if my question here is, and maybe you could answer, if you knew a store was a carnival versus a station, a carnival, it's a store you're going to go into. Would you rather be a carnival or a station? Which one would be carnival versus, you got to go in a store. You're going into a place, okay? You're going in, you're going to have to be in there with other human beings that are buying products. If you could be in a carnival or a station, which one would you feel better in?
If I'm going shopping, mm-hmm. I'd prefer the cleanliness and orderliness of a station.
Thank
for
you.
Sure.
Thank you. I knew you would. Yeah. Well,
If I'm going out drinking...
Carnival.
Bring on the carnival.
Right. We're talking about, so, and I will, it's a headline for our buddy Dale Leash over at Land Yap. Shoe Carnival buys locally owned shoe station in $67 million deal.
Oh, boy.
Let me tell you, they got shoe, I've bought shoes from, with like everybody in Mobile and Baldwin County, I've bought shoes from Shoe Station. Mm-hmm. I have been in a shoe station that acted like a shoe carnival.
Yeah. Did you
get it? It's been like madhouse and stuff laying on the floor and kids screaming. Yeah. I've been through that. But now it says Indiana-based retailer Shoe Carnival has announced today its $67 million acquisition of locally owned Shoe Station.
Wow. That's the biggest shoe news I've heard today.
Now, I think this might get me in trouble, but I'm still going to say it, because would there possibly be a competitor for Shoe Carnival? And I don't say this without taking all due serious, but Shoe Riot. If we opened a store called Shoe Riot,
yeah,
and then we're going to get huge and we'll buy Shoe Carnival that's bought Shoe Station, Shoe Riot will be the biggest of the shoe stores.
That's great, because I was going to go Shoe Lobby.
You're going to go the other way. I'm thinking, but
Shoe Riot.
In this, the bigger sign has eaten, Carnival has eaten Station.
Yeah.
So what could be bigger? Carnival's kind of stuff's going on, but Shoe Riot.
So, you know, no windows.
All busted out windows.
Or do they put in windows that each customer can come in and bust? You know, like the sugar glass.
Do we have glass buster sales at Shoe Riot? You know, is that it? You know, we come in, it's our annual glass buster sale.
Yeah.
Prices are so low, you feel like it's a riot. You're just looting the shoes from the store.
They're on fire right now. Absolutely on fire.
Just an idea. Just if there's just marketing ideas, I give these for free, which is probably what they're worth, but Shoe Riot.
Yeah. Hey, Shoe Riot manager. Is that, let's say Soros on your tag? Okay.
Georgia.
Why is there a fire extinguisher on every aisle?
Bricks right there in front of the business where you could. So it. Just say the real the story here now is that this Indiana-based retailer Shoe Carnival, as Dale Leash writes, has announced it's buying. It says not buying. It uses fancy language. It's $67 million acquisition of locally owned Shoe Station. It says here, we are excited to welcome Shoe Station to the Shoe Carnival team. Shoe Carnival's president and CEO, Mark Worden, said in his statement, coming on the heels of our best quarter,
nice,
of our best year in 43-year history, this deal accelerates our journey towards becoming a multi-billion-dollar retailer in the years ahead, end quote. With this acquisition, Shoe Carnival will own and operate Shoe Station's locations across the Southeast. I don't know if they're going to rebrand. If they did rebrand, maybe down here. Shoe Riot.
Just Shoe Riot.
The addition of a new brand and new retail locations to the Shoe Carnival portfolio creates a complementary retail platform to serve a broader customer base.
Oh, geez.
Yes. Like what?
You're selling shoes.
Other than somebody who has an unfortunate amputation of their feet.
Yeah.
You know, lots. And the people who get prosthetic legs, they still need shoes on them. So what expansion? Like in the past, are they trying to say that Shoe Carnival was discriminatory? I mean, Shoe Station was discriminatory, but Shoe Carnival opens up more options for shoes?
They're a much more progressive company.
Not as progressive as Shoe Riot.
No, Shoe Riot.
Sullivan's Shoe Riot coming to a strip mall near you.
Yeah, so what's in store for Shoe Station employees?
Well,
is there a uniform change? You know, are they going to have to learn? Are they going to have to move the Crocs to the other side?
I don't know.
What goes into all this? Or do they just keep the brand?
That's what it says that, okay, so the Shoe Station's current president and chief executive officer, Brett Barkin, so somebody I've known since he was a little kid, which means I'm older, will become the company's senior vice president, new business development and integration, reporting to Mr. Worden. So Shoe Station reporting to Shoe Carnival.
You knew him when he was wearing little shoes.
That's right. It says, Barkin, who's been with Shoe Station for over 20 years, Barkin will continue to lead Shoe Station while focusing on new business growth and opportunities for the combined company. Maybe that one day they'll be taking over Shoe Riot. It doesn't say if they're going to have to change their uniforms yet, or they're going to hide the new balance that I'm looking for in a different place.
Yeah. Which, by the way, speaking of riots, the smash and grabs that have been going on. So Dan mentioned it this morning, and I didn't read the story, but I just saw the story finally. They said they made some arrests in some of these California smash and grabs.
Right.
14 arrests. And in the same story, none of the 14 are still under arrest. So
wait. How long from when they made the arrest to them?
It had to have been within 24 hours. So they arrested 14 for smash and grab.
Right.
And in the same article they wrote about that, they said none of the 14 are still being held.
Well, in a side story, I didn't want to bring this up. I thought it was a little premature. Sullivan's Shoe Riot has hired these 14 to be associates.
Yeah.
So they are riot associates.
What kind of shoe are you looking for? I need something athletic. I'll be running.
Well, yes.
Will you be running to or from a place?
You need something to kick in things? What if at Shoe Riot, I put all the shoes under, there's glass inside. This is just kind of work. We're brainstorming here. Inside Shoe Riot, we have glass cases that have it. And then you have a brick. And if you want to get the deal, you have to smash the glass to get, and then you take it, of course, and pay us.
Right.
Associates up front.
That's a great idea.
Shoe Riot.
You break the glass, get the shoes.
That's right. Like the individual, maybe there'd be a lot of glass, but maybe like for each, maybe I'm not going to, like the New Balance 765s, you're not going to have all the sizes. You'll have like the nines or whatever you put out in the display.
Yeah.
You got to break that case and then you can go get one off the shelf. I'm not out of control with this idea. I don't want to say something that would be irresponsible.
Well, only
at Shoe Riot.
At Shoe Riot, only the narcs would buy New Balance, right? if you're buying New Balance at Shoe Riot,
yes.
They don't even want you there.
I don't know. I think we have for older folks like myself, this section here, like a lot thinner glass and a bigger brick like, for us to be able to break it there so we can get our New Balance. But just an idea. But the story here is that Shoe Station, which has been an absolute big part of living here for a long, long time, is now bought by Shoe Carnival.
Mm-hmm. I think everyone has been in a Shoe Station down here.
Now it'll be Carnival. And soon to come, Shoe Riot.
Have you checked for the domain name yet? Shoe Riot?
Dang it. Thank you. I'll do that as we go to the news. We're coming right back. Ruth Lichtenfeld is going to join us from Taylor Martino right here on Midday Mobile.